That in these feasts there is such riches of the Lord that we he kind of showed his riches in the feast, that we can understand how great his riches are.
Und wir wollten ja in der Vorbereitung wollten wir sehen, wie
when we prepared for this, how we thought about how do we become the city, how can we be transformed that we can be this bride. And really, that's what we wanted to talk about, the city. There's one location, Jerusalem, the city of our feasts. This is the location where we can experience Christ in the feasts, where we come together to the table of the Lord and we celebrate the riches and we celebrate that we can partake in him. Are we aware that we will inherit all things? That's what we're reminded of at the table. And I was concerned this way. We heard this morning, there is the way where we can have the experience. That's when we come together, we can keep the feast, that we can rejoice when we go up. That's why during the week we have to experience of Christ. And this way is in Revelation 21. That's what the brother mentioned today. Revelation 21:21. It's about the streets in the city. We talked about the wall in the last time. We looked at many things, but the street really stood out to me in the preparation. The street is pure gold and is transparent like glass. That has something to do with transformation. And in Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." And then it says, in the middle of its street, there must be a street in the city. That's where the throne is. I couldn't really understand it completely, but it goes together, the street, the throne of God and of the Lamb, the river of life. And in verse 2, it said, on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. That showed me this street. You have the full supply on the street. You have the water of life, the supply of the Spirit. You have the fruit of the tree. And you are in the presence of God. You are on the throne of God, near the throne of God and the Lamb. This street is nothing else but the Lord Himself. He is pure gold, like glass. In Him is the full supply. And I really enjoyed Isaiah 35. Do you know what it has as a headline? It's the complete restoration of Zion, it says. And one the brother read a verse 8, Isaiah 35, verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Who is holy? The Lord. And that was really a mystery to me. In order to enter the kingdom, you have to walk on the narrow way. And here it says, it is a road. In English, it even says it's a highway. How is that happening? We shall go the narrow way and enter the narrow gate. And here it's like a highway. And that's really a mystery of the gospel. I could see when you walk on this narrow way, when you abide in the Lord, then a way opens up that's easy to go on. In Isaiah 35, it says, even a fool shall not go astray. You don't have to have studied the Bible to go on this way. But what do you need? You need a heart that loves the Lord. You have to have fellowship with the Lord. You have to seek the Lord and love Him. According to my understanding, this is foolishness, not being super clever. But it's a heart that loves the Lord. And the redeemed shall walk on it. Are you redeemed? Has your price been paid? Do you want to walk on this road? Until the end, until Zion is being restored. Psalm 102 in verse 17, it says, when Zion has been built, then the Lord will appear, it says in Psalm 107. And there won't be a lion. Not just the Lord is being called a lion, but also the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. And so no lion will be there. When I was on this safari in Africa, I could see how they were hunting. It was a flock of zebras, and there was three geparders who came from different sides to the herd of zebras. And it was very astonishing what happened. And I thought they run away when they see the geparders. They saw one or two of them, maybe not all three of them. They realized something's coming. What did they do? They all went closer to one another. That's our protection. We're in fellowship. They didn't attack. The gepard didn't come. We have to stay close to the herd. And then they did an attack, like they tried to attack, and the zebras moved together. And the geparders tried to find one animal that might be separated from the herd. And they looked for that one. And for us, it's the same thing. Then the lion will come and the beasts will come. But when you go on this way together with the herd, there won't be a ravenous beast. Praise the Lord. This way that we saw this morning is there that we can experience the Lord in the feasts. I asked myself a few questions. What feasts do we keep? We saw there are 7 feasts. And in addition to it, the Sabbath in the beginning, every time of the feasts, every time it starts with the Sabbath. And one aspect of the Sabbath really stood out to me that I want to share with you. The Sabbath is not that we just do daily work, but we shall rest in the Lord. But when I have a situation, when someone, I get a message where someone attacks me, when I start reacting right away, what reacts? My flesh. The first reaction would cause an attack verbally. I would start sending an evil message, but that's my flesh. But when I don't do that, but I come to the Lord, enter His Sabbath rest, then the Lord can speak to me in His Spirit. And that happened to me many times when I didn't react right away, but I waited 2 or 3 hours. The message didn't look as bad, and I could see it in a different light, and I could start praying for the person. And I could ask the Lord, what shall I respond? What should I write? And that saved me many times. That's why it's so wonderful that the Lord gave us the Sabbath in the beginning of each feast. And that's how we can experience the Sabbath practically. That we first enter this rest and seek the Lord, what shall I do in this situation? He is the best counselor. How can we keep the feasts today? We don't have to keep them physically today, but in the Spirit and in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:10, there's a wonderful verse. We are His work, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We see it's in Christ, this way that we are on, it's in Christ, and we can experience the Lord. And that we don't keep the feast physically anymore. It's in 2 Colossians, don't be judged by feasts or that are a shadow of things to come, but Christ is the reality. That's where I have to admit I need light from the Lord. I completely misunderstood this verse. I was talking to a brother and we talked about keeping Christmas or not. And that's where he said, don't be judged. So why? I can keep Christmas and celebrate Christmas. And then I can keep the spring feast. But well, what does it mean? The Jews were judging the Christians that they weren't circumcised, because they didn't see that it's no longer the law of the letter, but the law of the Spirit of life. And that's what it's about, the feasts. So they judged them because they didn't have the circumcision and the Jewish feasts. These were the feasts that God ordained. And there are some Christians who have who really like the Jews, and they fall back into the law, and they keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They travel to Israel, but that's what it's not talking about. The law is the reality of the feast. The Lord is the reality of the feasts. One example is that the feasts are our salvation. The Lord put such wisdom into the feasts, especially the first four feasts. They really make us overcomers. He says in Revelation 3:20, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Revelation 3:21. It's about overcoming. The way is not just an easy way. It's a way of life and of chastening. It's very interesting for me that in Isaiah 35, in verse 3, so in Hebrews it talks about that we shall keep our inheritance by being not unrighteous. And it cites Isaiah 35. Yeah, lift up the feeble knees. Yeah. It talks also about Moses when he had feeble arms, yeah, that were lifted up in prayer. So it's about overcoming. In my experience, the Passover feast is for me that I'm no longer a slave of sin. Can you read Romans 6, the whole chapter? What I now live in the flesh, I do not live for the sin. I live it unto the Son. Do not be under slavery of sin anymore. When I have a situation today, through the Passover feast, I don't have to remain in the old man. I don't have to let the sin rule over me. But I can take the blood of Christ. I can be free. And can, like I mentioned with the Sabbath, I can react in the Spirit. Should this attack that I've received, like, for example, in a message, someone treats me unrighteously, if it has taken hold of you and it kind of started working in you and the sin starts working in you, then you can experience the feast of unleavened bread where you can get rid of this poison in you. And we can be filled with the unleavened bread, with Christ, with the Word of God. The Lord takes the poison out of us. We don't have to be filled with evil thoughts. We don't have to be jealous and full of wrath. We don't have to divide people. But we can cast it out through the Lord. And we can take this wonderful unleavened bread and eat it. Sometimes at this point, it works so strongly that you're already free. You can put off all bitterness. But there's still sometimes the situation where you can get rid of it. Then death somehow came into you. Yeah, spiritual death is there. What can you do against spiritual death? That's the feast of the first fruits. It's the feast of resurrection. We don't have to remain in death. The Lord has resurrected. And in these situations, we can be raised from the dead. We can have this power. Often we looked at this feast when we want to serve the Lord. We're so diligent when we want to do our own things. But when we want to serve the Lord, I'm so tired, so dead. But praise the Lord. The Lord gave us this feast. He saved us from death and gave us His resurrection life. He is the resurrection and the life. The tree of life. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then we talk about the Feast of Pentecost. It doesn't leave us just on this earth, but the Feast of Pentecost, we have been transferred to the heavenly places. And then we are where the Lord said we should be. He says, He who overcomes shall sit with me on the throne. In certain points, we can keep experience it in the four feasts. It depends on how deep sin is working with us. The Lord has a solution for everything. And He brings us up to Himself. And then everything is under our feet. Satan is under our feet. Problems are under our feet. When we have this perspective, we do not care about the things of this world anymore. But we can keep the last three feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, that we can preach the gospel, we can pray for the kingdom, keep the Day of Atonement and really repent and not just quickly say, oh, I quickly repent. But it's true repentance that is a true turn where we can love the Lord and His kingdom and His burdens and take care of these things. And in all these feasts, we can see many offerings. And that shows the fullness and the riches of Christ. We cannot do our own work in these, but in the feast there is Christ. And the feast with the most offerings is the Feast of Tabernacles. In the end, when Zion has been built up, when the Lord appears, then we need so much of Christ. 70 oxes. Praise the Lord for the riches in the feasts that help us to be overcomers. We want to inherit all things and we want to have the promises where it says in Revelation, he who overcomes gets the tree of life. So many things. Praise the Lord. We have this way, which is Christ. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, He is the truth, the reality in the feasts and the offerings. And he is the life that we need and the life that helps us overcome.